This is going to be different than what I had planned for today, but that's the way it happens sometimes, that our plans and God's plans don't line up. So some of you may not like what I've got to say today or agree with what I've got to say, but that may happen every time you listen. But it's what God laid on my heart for the last few days. So let's begin with a prayer. Father, just give you thanks that you do speak to us, and you speak to us in a lot of different ways. And just, Lord, help us to always, always be ready to listen to what you have to say. Be ready to set aside our plans, as good as they may seem to be, for yours, which we know is always going to be better. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll open our hearts this morning, especially, but open our minds and our ears that we can get your message. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, our world is really in need of help right now. I mean, it's always in need of help, but it's especially in need of the help that only God can provide. But as often is the case, he provides that help through his children. And so we need to be ready to see what he wants us to do. So I want to tell you the tale of two girls, actually two young ladies, born within a few weeks of each other. They're both an only child, and they lived very different lives. And this is a true story, okay? We'll call one Anne and the other Beth. Okay, A and B. And I know Anne a lot better than Beth. Anne grew up in a home with both parents. Church was a big part of her life. You know, she was active in Sunday school and youth group, and went on different things, a lot of stuff outside of the local church. You know, the Bible is a big part of her life. She grew up working, helping her mother in her mother's business. She had summer jobs, babysitting, and just, you know, the kind of girl you like to see, I guess. Right now she's in her third year of college, and she's working on the side and internship and all. So she lives at home and just lives a kind of what you would call an ideal type life, I guess, for someone her age. Beth, on the other hand, her parents divorced when she was young. Her mother got remarried, and that ended in divorce. She lived with her grandparents the last few years. She was in high school, and since then she's been living with a boyfriend or boyfriends. Drug and alcohol use, I believe, started pretty early, and she's been in rehab on different occasions, but never stuck it out, never really finished the program, and she would just leave when she wanted to. And Beth seemed to be doing better. She had a job that her grandmother told us that she really liked, and working with older people. And her and her boyfriend were living with her mother, and they had just gotten an apartment, and they were celebrating that fact that they were going to have their own place to live. And as part of their celebration, drugs were were there. I don't know who was there, but anyway, she overdosed and she's gone. Now, I'm not saying that Anne was a good girl and Beth was a bad girl, because there's good in everyone. Sometimes it just kind of gets buried under a lot of junk, I guess. So, what's my point? Well, a couple things. One is having a stable home life makes a big difference. Anne's mom was very involved in her school life. She was like a room mother in the PTA, and she always knew Anne's friends and their parents, and probably some of you would call her a helicopter parent, because she just was kind of always there, involved in things that Anne was interested in. So that may not be so bad. I know some parents can really be over the top, but too many are almost unconcerned, actually. I know we ran a youth soccer program, and there were some parents that they were there for every practice. They were there for every game. You know, they were very supportive of their kids, supportive of the program. And some parents just dropped off their kids, and they were never there for a game. They dropped them off for practice, came back later and picked them up, dropped them off for a game, would come back later and pick them up. If the game was out of town, they would make sure their kids got a ride with somebody else so they didn't have to go. And, you know, different times we had to sit and wait for a parent to show up to pick the kids up, because the parents, they had gone shopping, or they were at the bar, or they were just visiting friends or whatever it might be, but they were too busy, too concerned with themselves to really show an interest in what their kids were doing. And this quite often shows up, you know, that the parents don't show an interest and the kids don't show an interest, and, you know, then they end up having problems, I guess. Not always, but sometimes. Now, I was not as close to Beth. I don't know a whole lot about her upbringing, but what I observed was that her mother thought it was more important to be her friend and to give her whatever she wanted. Usually giving her whatever she wanted meant that the grandparents gave her whatever she wanted. And I'm not sure if Beth worked at all when she was in school, but like I said, I'm not sure how much her mother was involved in her life the last couple years of school, because she was living with the grandparents. And, you know, I don't know why she was living with the grandparents. I'm not sure what the problem was. And I wasn't aware of it at the time anyways. I know she'd taken some college classes off and on and just never seemed to complete much of anything. She'd worked at some different fast food places, grocery stores, and, you know, never really had much of a job. It was kind of like sex, drugs, and rock and roll seemed to be the rule. I had watched some videos that she had made, and not where I would want my kids to be. So how does this message fit here? Children need friends, but children need parents. And there needs to be a distinction between the two. So let's take a look at some scripture. Proverbs is full of verses, and we'll get there. But first, let's look at Exodus 20:12, where it says to honor your mother and father. Anne's father was a big influence in her life, and I described how her mother was a big part of her life. Beth's father. I don't know where he lives, but I don't know how much he had been around or involved in Beth's life. And honor. The word honor means to glory or promote or to come to or to respect. I don't know if Beth had a lot of honor or respect for her mother, but I know that Anne certainly has honor and respect for her parents, and that she knows that she can go to her parents anytime about anything. So let's take a look at the message. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it says this: Children, do what your parents tell you to. This is only right. Honor your mother and father is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, namely, so you will live well and have a long life. Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. What this verse and many other verses tell me is, parents, you need to be parents. If you grew up learning to listen to your parents, you're going to respect your parents. And because of that, you will have a better life. Are parents always right? No. I know I was not, and I am still not. Often as teens, we know it all, you know, and we don't need any interference from our parents because we have all the answers because we're a teenager. And somehow, 10 years later, parents seem to have become much smarter than they were when we were teenagers. Not that we would still admit, you know, say, you know, Dad, Mom, you know, when I was 17 years old and I was wanting to do this and go there and all, you told me I couldn't, you know, you were right. Yeah, probably not a whole lot of kids do that. And parenting is going to be different in some ways from child A to child B to child C to child D, because we parent differently to our 6-year-old than we do to our 16-year-old. But if we did a good job at 6 years old, 16 is easier than what it could be if we didn't do a good job back when they were younger. The Bible tells us how to be a good parent. We find a lot of that in Proverbs. The first verse that comes to mind, and the one that is probably the most common to us, taking it from the King James, is, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The New Living Translation says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it. And again, looking at the message, it says, point your kids in the right direction. When they are old, they won't be lost. Boy, I think that says a lot. Often, not always, when a child goes bad, we have to look at the parents. Because our children are influenced by many things when they grow up. And as parents, we have to make sure that we're a big part of that influence. And doing our job as a parent, not trying to be their buddy. Okay, there's a big difference. We can't think that it's going to happen all by itself. You know, from the cradle to the time that they're on their own, we have to have an active part in their lives, not make their decisions for them. They're not going to let us do that anyways. But teaching them how to make good decisions, how to make right decisions, teaching them the things that they know or that they will need to know in life. There's a commercial on TV, it's been on lately. I think it's for Liberty Mutual Insurance. And it shows these two teenage boys in the night sometime, it's dark. And the one is on a phone with his father, and he says, "I know what a lug wrench is." And then to his friend, he holds up this wrench to his friend, and he says, "Is this a lug wrench?" And it's not. And the friend says, "Yeah, maybe." That's a humorous but sad picture, because in many cases that would be true. Because, you know, to me, that's one of the basic things we need to teach our kids. You know, if they're going to be driving a car, you know, you may get a flat tire sometime, and this is what you need to do. I remember our daughter had picked up her then boyfriend from the airport, and they were driving back to where we lived, and Allison had our daughter-in-law, she wasn't her daughter-in-law at the time, but a friend with her, and they were leaving the airport, and they were having problems with the car. I can't remember what it was. It was this old Ford Escort, and my daughter's boyfriend said, "Well, you know, I think you need to put the brake on." You know, it had the brake lever that you pulled up. And so they drove an hour and a half with the emergency brake on, because he thought that was going to make the car run better. Doesn't work that way. Okay. But if we haven't been taught some of the basic things of life, we try to reach out and do something that, you know, sounds right to me at the moment. But I was talking with a friend the other day about their family and our family and all, and one of their daughters teaches a class at, I believe, a community college, and it's a life skills class, and that's basically what it is, teaching young adults how to change a tire, how to balance a checkbook, how to set up a budget, how to make some of the decisions in life that they need to make. You know, if you have involved parents, this isn't necessary. Okay, those are things that involved parents teach their children as they're growing up, teaching them life and what to expect after high school or after college when you get into the real world. Proverbs 13:24, the New Living Translation, says this: "Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them." Now, I know in some states you could probably get arrested if you didn't spare the rod. But we need to know where the line is there too. But again, going to the message, I really like what it says. It says, "A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them." Okay? Now, does that sound better to you, Snowflake? But we need to make sure that we're correcting our kids, letting them know what's right and what's wrong, and the penalty for making wrong decisions, bad decisions, making wrong choices. So let me give you some more proverbs on the parenting thing. And I'm going to jump around in the book of Proverbs. But 13:18 says, "If you ignore criticism, you will end up in poverty and disgrace. If you accept correction, you will be honored." Okay. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. "My children, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." All right, how about 29:1? Excuse me. Oh, excuse me. Whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. 29:15. To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. Beth's mother, I think, is probably to some point disgraced by what her daughter has done and her life ending the way it did. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your children and they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. 12:1, to learn you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. 19:18, discipline your children while there is hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. Okay? And disciplining your children while there's hope, that's when they're young. Okay? If you haven't disciplined your kids when they're, you know, 3, 6, 10 years old, it's going to be hard to discipline them when they're 15, 16, 17. Because that pattern has not been set. 22:15, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive that far away. Now, it can be done without breaking their spirit. If some people say, you know, oh, they're just kids, you know, they're going to grow out of it, you know, don't worry about it. No, they're going to continue to grow into it, not out of it. Okay, and that's something that we need to make sure we understand. And then Proverbs 5:21-23, this is from the Message. Mark well that God doesn't miss a move you make. He's aware of every step you take. The shadow of your sin will overtake you. You'll find yourself stumbling all over yourself in the dark. Death is a reward of an undisciplined life. Your foolish decisions trap you in a dead end. It all points back to one verse from Proverbs 22:6. Point your children in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. If your children are not getting the direction they need growing up, they're letting their friends, their music, the world make their choices for them. Okay, we have 4 children, ages 32 to 37. Are they perfect? No way. Have they become good people? Yes. Well, yay me. All right. I've been a good father. No. Not because of me. Not because of my wife. All because of the Lord. Because of the direction that He's given us in raising them and helping them to make the right decision. They don't always make the right decisions, just like you and I. So why has Anne turned out good and Beth's life ended in a disaster? Well, a big part is Anne was from a stable home. Beth, her life seemed to be in turmoil quite frequently. And the second and the biggest part is the Lord. The Lord was a part of Anne's life from birth. You know, when she was a couple weeks old, she was in church. And she's still there now. Beth, well, knowing her mother, there was little involvement, if any, from the Lord, because that just wasn't her thing. So we need to make sure that we know what our children are learning and who they're learning it from, and it has to be from us, and we have to get our teaching material from the Lord if we want it to be right. So again, I know that Anne knows the Lord, that she's made a commitment to Jesus Christ. Beth, I don't know. You know, the thing that her boyfriend had written up and the thing that her mother had written up was, you know, well, now she's an angel in heaven. I'm not so sure about that. Okay? Because if she came to know the Lord, I'm really not sure when or how that would have been. It wouldn't have been from her mother's direction, I'm quite sure. And I don't know about the grandparents on either side. So I don't think so. So the biggest part that we need to teach our children is that they need Jesus Christ in their life, that he's the one that's going to make the difference in their life. Bad parenting can sometimes direct a child to the Lord. You know, so we know that good parenting, coming from a Christian background, that that's almost always going to direct a child to the Lord. So we need to do what we need to do for the Lord. So it all comes down to salvation, as always. Okay? If you have kids, children, grandchildren in your life that you're not sure about a commitment to the Lord from them, sit down with them and explain what they need to have in their life. More than anything else, they need to have Jesus. That they need to know that he died for their sins, and that if they die without him, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. There's just no two ways about it. Doesn't sound too good. You know, it's not real a pretty picture that you have to paint, but let them know. You know, and a lot of times teens especially think, well, it's not going to happen to me. You know, it happened to Beth, it happened to Ralph, it happened to whoever. But that's not going to happen to me. Well, it sure can, because we never know when our last breath will come. So make sure that you're telling your children, your grandchildren, about Jesus in his name.